Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Gloria a Dios.
Hallelujah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you hear me, devil? You're not welcome here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because Jesus is Lord in this place.
Yes.
And these people belong to God. They do not belong to you. So out the door.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I would like to have you turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 17. Matthew 17. And I thought for sure Brother Mark was going to preach my message this morning and I would have to sit down tonight. But he didn't. He almost did. So, praise the Lord. So, I just want to read the scripture and then we'll talk about what the Lord wants us to hear tonight. Because when we gather together, it is not what man says that we want to hear. It is not what man says that is important. But we want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Why? Because we are in troubled waters. And we need God to direct us as never before as a church. And so we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will speak to us through His Word tonight.
Amen.
Matthew 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias or Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we'll stop there. Now, the word that I feel God wants us to think about and meditate on. I can scream louder than you, young men. So, the word that I want us to think about is the resurrection now. If you want a title, the resurrection now. So, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and we call this the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, when Jesus took the disciples up to the Mount of Transfiguration, God wanted to show his disciples what the resurrection looked like. So, have you ever had heard the term a sneak peek? A sneak peek. In other words, a preview. A movie, a Star Wars movie is coming out. But they don't want to show you the movie, but they show you a sneak peek, a preview. So, what Jesus was doing, he was giving them a preview of what the resurrection was going to look like. And so, when Jesus was caught up into the Mount of Transfiguration, it said his face began to shine, and his raiment began to glow, and the brethren thought, my goodness, what is this? Now, before the world began, Jesus always was. He was always with the Father. Come on, brethren, you believe that.
Yes.
I know you believe that. Jesus was always with the Father. And so he had this eternal glory. But what he did, in order to save us, to save humanity, he came down, he took upon himself the nature of a man, the body of a man, and he took upon himself as the Lamb of God the sins of the world. But what about the glory? What about the glory? Where was the glory? He said he laid down his glory and was made lower than the angels, took upon himself the form of a servant. But Peter, James, and John had the opportunity to see what Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, what he looked like before he became a man. And what he did, he opened up and they saw the glory. Do you know what they saw? They saw the same thing that when Jesus resurrected, he could come through the wall. He didn't have to use the door. He could come through the wall. Why? Because he had that resurrection life and power and glory. And so he was giving to Peter, James, and John, and to us, a glimpse of what the resurrection will be. Power and glory. Now, he was transfigured. Now, we do not claim to be Greek and Hebrew learned scholars, but we have tools available to us where we can learn what the original says. And so in the original Greek, the word transfigured is the word metamorpho. Now, do any of my young students here know, have you ever heard that word? Metamorphosis? Have you ever heard that word in your science class? Huh? No? Have you ever heard about how... Okay, this afternoon, when Brother Mark was speaking, there was a butterfly. Anybody see it? The butterfly came in the door, and then he flew out. Does anybody know from your science class, how did the butterfly become a butterfly? How did that happen? Was he always a butterfly? No. It was a process. And so, he started out, in English we call it a little caterpillar, or a worm. He was a little caterpillar, but that wasn't what he was destined to be. Okay, and then he went into, do you know the story? How the little caterpillar climbed up on the branch and he attached himself to the branch and he began to eat the leaves and he began to spin this little, we call it a chrysalis. And he became like a little, what we call, larva, okay? So, he went from a caterpillar to a larva, and in there, he begins to eat. But inside, something is growing. And one day, out of that little cocoon, we call it, out of that little cocoon comes this beautiful butterfly. Now, brethren, we didn't come from America to give you a science class, to give you a science lesson, but we want to understand what is this resurrection. First of all, let me ask you a question. Do you think that we have a resurrection inside of us right now? Paul said, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. So what God has done, God has planted the resurrection inside of each one of us that are born of His Spirit. Now, how do we know that? And how can we comprehend that? When Jesus, let me get back to what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration before we go there. It said Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as a sun. And behold, there appeared Moses, and we'll say Elijah, talking with him. Now, Moses had already passed on. Elijah had already passed on. But where did they pass on to? They passed on into the heavenlies. Now, where are the heavenlies? The heavenlies are right here among us right now. And so what Jesus did What Jesus did was he took the veil away from the eyes of the disciples, and they saw what the resurrection would look like. Moses and Elijah were in their heavenly bodies. Now remember, they were not yet resurrected yet. Why? Because the resurrection will be at the end of the tribulation when all of us will resurrect together. But right now, there's a resurrection going on inside of our soul that God wants us to acknowledge and experience. The resurrection is the living Christ causing us to rise up. So, he said, Moses and Elijah, but look at what happened. Then Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. You know, if we would have been there, we would have said the same thing. Let's make a tabernacle. Let's build a church. Let's start a church right here. But Jesus said, no, it's not time for that. So, he said, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, the voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I want you to see that in this transfigured state that Jesus was in, heaven came down. Brethren, heaven is coming down to us in this realm. And God wants us to what? Be lifted up. Be lifted up, my soul. Be lifted up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so, at this moment, the overshadowing came. Jesus was present. And the voice of the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What happened? God showed the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost that God was not one entity. That God was the overshadowing. That God was Jesus Christ. And that God was the Father that spoke from heaven. So, this word, we get back to the word transfigured. Transfigured means that inside of my soul. Let's go back to where it began for us. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. We were a dead soul. Now, we repented of our sin, and what happened? God breathed into us the breath of life, and what? We became a living soul. So now, guess what happened? We became like the caterpillar. First stage, we had to have life. We had to have life. So first stage, we got life. So the next thing happened. God sent Holy Spirit. Now, if you look at this, there were three main feasts of the Lord that the children of Israel were required three times in a year they were to assemble. The first time they assembled in the spring of the year was Passover. That meant the Passover was the Passover lamb. The blood was shed. That's our new life. That's the caterpillar. That's the caterpillar stage. Then he said, the second feast was the feast of Pentecost. That was when they heard a rushing, mighty wind from heaven. And the Spirit of God filled all of them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. That was the stage where we went into that little cocoon. And the Holy Ghost was in there with us. And we're feeding on Christ. Now, the last feast at the end of the year, in the fall, they call it the fall feast, was the Feast of Tabernacles. And guess what happens at Tabernacles? Everyone builds a little, what they call a tabernacle, a little, it's like a lean-to, but they build this little tent made of sticks, and they tabernacle in those places for 7 days. God wants to tabernacle Himself inside of man. And that was what Jesus was revealing at the Transfiguration. God wants to live inside of you. And so the third process in the metamorphosis is when that little larva breaks out of his shell. Guess what our shell is? Our shell is this body. Now, is the body going to be resurrected? The body at the day of resurrection, our physical body, will be resurrected. But the real resurrection is the resurrection of Christ in the soul. And that, brethren, is happening right now. The resurrection of the soul. You say, didn't I get life when I got the blood? Wasn't I born again of His Spirit? But God is saying that there's a resurrection of life that must take place now inside of our soul. So the next place is in Romans chapter 12. And you probably know this, and if you don't, you should memorize these scriptures. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. This is that same word, metamorphosis, which talks about a transformation that is going on when we offer up our soul unto God. So Paul is admonishing the church. Now, when Martha came to Jesus at the death of Lazarus, and Lazarus is in the tomb, and she says, and now remember, Martha is very serious when she's telling Jesus this. She said, "Jesus, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died." Jesus went on to explain to her, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life." Now, if Jesus truly is the resurrection, and we believe that, then how would he prove that he is the resurrection and the life? How would he prove it? He has to die and be resurrected. Brethren, Jesus is the God of the living, not the dead. He's resurrecting inside of us now. Guess what? Our soul needs a resurrection. Do you still have some dead things in your soul? Come on, brethren. We have to be honest. Do we still despise our brother sometimes? Do we still have some thoughts that we are ashamed of? God is saying to us that there is a need for us to have a resurrection inside. Now, in one more scripture, in 2 Corinthians, and I believe it's chapter 3, Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are, and this is the same word, metamorphosis, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Brethren, what he's saying, that glory that Peter, James, and John saw at the Transfiguration, he said there's a greater glory. There's a greater glory. Because I'm going to come forth in resurrection might and power in a people. Now let me show you that in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go to chapter 15. Now, I want us to understand that Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, is dwelling inside of every born-again believer here tonight. Do we believe that?
Yes.
We believe that the resurrection is already here, dwelling inside of us. Now, what is holding back? What is holding back this glory from coming forth now? You tell me. Why don't we, if we have the same glory that Jesus manifested on the Mount of Transfiguration, if that same glory is dwelling inside of each one of us here, why can't we see it? Why can't we manifest it? What, I ask you, what is holding that back? Let us find out. In 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll go down to verse 42. Well, we should start in verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. And we know that, as our brother was teaching us, that the Bible is written in spiritual terminology or typology. So, the sun represents Christ Jesus, the Son of God. God, the Son. Another glory of the moon. Jesus is shining His glory onto the moon. The moon is the church. And another glory of the stars. The stars are the sons of God. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. Brethren, do you hear that? The resurrection is sown inside of this corruptible body. This body that is getting older. Did you know that one time I had beautiful brown hair, but now it's all white? What is happening? Did you know? Let me tell you something. Did you know at one time I was a delivery driver and I was fit and trim? I said I had a 42-inch chest, a 32-inch waist, and I used to pump weights before I went to work. I was fit and trim. Now somehow that 42-inch chest worked its way down. What are we talking about? These bodies are getting older. Corruption. Corruptible. Now listen. Why would God plant incorruption inside of this corruptible body? Because He wants the resurrection to manifest out of these corruptible bodies. Just like Jesus was trapped in that body. And He had to go to the cross and let His blood, which is His life, out for you and I to receive that life so that we could experience the resurrection. So now let's go on. He said, this corruptible. Now, I don't know. So is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown like a seed in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in what? It's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Brethren, when the power of the resurrection begins to manifest from the sons of God, they are going to set all creation free. Do you know that all creation now is groaning and travailing in pain because of the weight of sin that is upon this world? Waiting for what? For the sons of God to manifest and to show forth that resurrection power. Out of weakness are made powerful. And what is the next verse? It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now, when Peter, James, and John were on top of the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, what do you think they saw? They saw Jesus transfigured from this natural body to this heavenly spiritual body. Then they turned around and they saw Moses and Elijah in a spiritual body. Brethren, we have that same spiritual body living right here inside of this natural body. But it's trapped. It's trapped because of our carnality. We hold Jesus back. Come on now. We hold Jesus back because we still want to live and function and operate in a natural body.
What do we do every morning?
We get up and we pray to God and we say, God, I come to do thy will, O God. And then what do? We go about our natural business, and where is God? And the whole time, this resurrected Christ is dwelling right inside of you, but he's silent, he's restrained, because we fulfill what the natural body wants. In verse 45, and this is a very key verse, and if you have your Bible, I would like you to look at it. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And when was Adam made a living soul? When God formed him and he breathed into him that breath of life and he became a living soul. But wait a minute. You are Adam. Amen? You are of Adam too. So when did you become a living soul? You became a living soul when the blood of Jesus Christ touched your soul and you went from a dead soul to a living soul, because the life was in the blood. Now, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, who's the last Adam? The last Adam was Jesus Christ, who came in the form of Adam, took a body of the seed of Adam, And he came here and he looked just like we look. But there was something different. Jesus Christ was a quickening spirit. And he had power over this body. You hear what I'm saying, brethren? Had power over the body. We can have power over this dead body. And we can command life. Now, we are now, right now, we are a living soul. But the desire of God is that we also become a quickening spirit just like Jesus Christ. Now, when I say to you a quickening spirit, Jesus Christ was a life giver. That's a quickening spirit. A quickening spirit means a life giver, giving life. When Jesus Christ came to a funeral, guess what happened? There was no burial, because Jesus raised the dead. When Jesus Christ came and he saw the man with the withered hand, he was a quickening spirit. He spoke a word of life and the hand came out. Do you
see, brethren, what we're talking about when we say that there's a resurrection going on inside of us right now. God wants us to let that power begin to come out and manifest. I would like to challenge you to use the power that God has given to us. We have a challenge. Here in Belize, we have a challenge right now with the government wanting to impose this Unabomb. Amen? But we have power. We need to get together and pray and bind the Spirit, because what is the Spirit really after? The Spirit is after your children. The Spirit is after your grandchildren. But we have power with God. We don't have to sit still and watch the devil destroy our families and our children. We need to begin to reach out with that resurrection life and power and begin to command the environment around us. Brethren, let us begin to think about that transfiguration. That transfiguration of that living Christ that is inside of us, every one of us. Because God really desires that Christ could begin to manifest through each one of us. So, may God help us. I pray that we will give heed to the reading of God's Word, and that we will really begin to recognize when Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." That I am is here tonight. That I am is living inside of every one of us. Begin to recognize that still small voice when He speaks. Begin to recognize the Spirit of God when he begins to try to direct our lives. Because, brethren, I tell you this, God is always speaking. We are not always listening. So may God help us. May God help our ears to hear. May God help our eyes to see. And may God help our hearts to receive and to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church, because we are truly, as our brother said, we are in the last days and we are in troublous times. And we need to lean upon the Lord as never before. We thank you, brethren, for inviting us. And we pray that God will help us in the days to come to be what God has called each one of us to be. In Jesus' name, may God bless you. Amen.